everyone, welcome to the voice of Dr. Yan, and I'm your host, Dr. Li Meng Yan. In this episode, the main topic is about the censored documents about Canada, Winnipeg scientists reveal threat to Canada's security, and this was reported since 28 February, and it is about two scientists at Canada's High Security Infectious Disease Laboratory, which is the National Microbiology Laboratory in Winnipeg. Dr. Xiang Guoqiu and her husband, Ke Dingcheng, provided confidential scientific information to China and were fired after a probe concluded she posed a realistic and credible threat to Canada's economic security, and it was discovered they engaged in clandestine meetings with Chinese officials, and those are from the documents tabled in the House of Commons. So I was based on the report published by the Globe and Mail, and first let you know what exactly happened, and then also provide additional information that I have investigated about Chiu's recent work, because according to this report as well as other English-speaking sources, that these two infectious disease scientists were escorted out of the National Microbiology Laboratory in Winnipeg in July 2019 and later had their security clearances revoked. They were fired in January 2021, which was over 3 years ago, and then their whereabouts are not known. However, based on the research by my team, we do have found a lot of update information about Chiu's latest achievements in the virology and countermeasure field with People's Liberation Army, which means the countermeasures for the bioweapon programs, and some of that has a patent filed in China, and also some of that applied the award for the China's National Technology Award, and we believe they have already received this award. So let's see, according to the Globe and Mail, Dr. Chiu, who worked at the National Microbiology Lab in Winnipeg, was dishonest when confronted with her actions, making blanket denials and half-truths, and personally benefited from the arrangement. The documents state, noting that she repeatedly lied to the Canadian Security Intelligence Service, which is CSIS, and refused to admit to any involvement in various People's Republic of China programs. CSIS in January 8, 2021 report marked secret said its findings call into question Ms. Chiu's loyalty to Canada and her reliability as it relates to loyalty. It highlights her close and clandestine relationships with a variety of entities of the People's Republic of China, which is a known security threat to Canada. Her complete lack of candor regarding her relationship with those institutions and her reckless judgment regarding decisions that could have impacted public safety and the interest of Canada. So, on 28 February, Canada government released records of the investigation into these two scientists that have been previously censored from public review. Opposition parties had united to demand the release of the documents after the government in 2021 released the heavily redacted Public Health Agency of Canada documents that obscured the full story. Back then, the government had resisted providing the documents and the CSIS records on the grounds that doing so would harm national security. In June 2021, opposition parties voted to declare the Liberal government in contempt of Parliament, and Ottawa took the Speaker of the House of Commons to court to fight the release before dropping the legal action after an election was called. Opposition parties renewed their calls for transparency after the election, and negotiations led to the appointment of a special committee with MPs from four parties to examine uncensored versions of the documents and recommend what more would be released. In the statement on 28th, After the release of the document, the Public Health Agency of Canada didn't address the two scientists or what transpired, but instead focused on security changes that have been made since 2019. I mean, of course, I mean, they need to let people know that there is nothing wrong about them, only that too has done something wrong, but it's kind of the loophole has been already fixed. But do you believe that? I mean, we know there are so many scientists working as spies for China in America, in Canada, and in other countries. So Chu's and her husband's case is just one kind of well-known case because these two have escaped from Canada, and also these two, they're working on Ebola, and most of people know that Ebola is highly lethal, so that would make different impact in public opinions. But in so many other labs, there are these people still working there. So before you can clear all these kind of spies out of the labs, I don't think they could make very efficient improvement. Anyway, go back to the report. The investigation into the scientist, the agency said, informed important enhancements to security measures, include regular training on security and employee responsibilities. Health Minister Mark Holland said that Public Health Agency of Canada's failure to enforce security protocols at the lab in 2019 was unacceptable. However, he maintained that at no time did national secrets or did information that threatened the security of Canada leave or enter the lab wrongly. So if they consider the patterns about the countermeasures of Ebola as the national secrets, and I would say that it come to China already, and I don't know how would they define this kind of leakage through Chu and her husband and their collaborators in People's Liberation Army. But for me, I do believe that is kind of the leakage of the national secrets, and it poses a potential risk for Canada's security. Conservative leader Pierre Poilievre said in a statement that the documents show that under the government's watch, the People's Republic of China and its entities that include the military were allowed to infiltrate Canada's top-level lab. This is a massive national security failure by Justin Trudeau and his Liberal government, which he fought tooth and nail to cover up. He said, "He can't be trusted to keep our people and our country safe." Here is part of his speech, just I want to play around 1 minute for you to get a better understanding.
The cost, the crime, the corruption, and the cover-up. But now we know that he cannot protect our people or our country. We've just received these documents that Trudeau has been covering up for years. Documents related to a massive security breach at the Trudeau government's most sensitive laboratory, where the most dangerous viruses and pathogens are studied and handled. We have learned that the Trudeau government's head of pathogens was collaborating with members of Beijing's People's Liberation Army, who are responsible for bioweapons and bioterrorism. We know now that a People's Liberation Army official was able to gain personal access, walk in the door, look at computers, and have access to all of our most important virological secrets.
Okay, we have heard that the conservative leader Pierre has clearly mentioned that People's Liberation Army is working for bioweapons and bioterrorism. Yes, they are, and we have known it since the COVID-19 pandemic, although they don't admit, and they would never admit until the day you defeat them and discover those secrets from their documents or from all of them who survived, and from the party from People's Liberation Army. Like what happened to those KGB secret documents after the Soviet Union collapsed, unlike what we know after the World War II about Nazis' genocide. So besides the political issues happened in this case in Canada's government, that the document was censored or maybe not, I want to focus on the two spies, Dr. Chu and her husband Chen. So let's keep reading the report. So in the CSIS document revealed, the security agency said it uncovered Dr. Chu's association with multiple talent programs run by Chinese authorities that aim to boost China's national technological capacities and may pose a serious threat to research institutions, include government research facilities, by incentivizing economic espionage and theft of intellectual property. Yes, they're right. The talent programs run by Chinese government and other government-owned entities actually is the very important tactic in CCP and the People's Liberation Army's intellectual property theft program. So they would provide various of talent programs like from the universities or from the local government or from the central government to attract those who study or worked in overseas, especially institutions, universities, or high-tech companies. And China government would tell you that what is the areas the government focusing on in this period. For example, maybe 20 years ago when the United States was conducting the human genomic program, and China at that time, they need to know how to sequence human genome and what we can know from the result, and they need to bring this kind of knowledge back to China. And now they care most about in biology field, maybe about the CRISPR gene editing, and also in computer science they will care more about the AI, how to use it to generate the video or make the big data analysis collection, all like that. So when these kind of researchers, they read the instruction guidance from the government's programs, they know what they can provide. And the amount of the money in these kind of grants can be very high. And also, you can apply many different programs from central government to local government or with other entities in China. So that's why you can get a lot of incomes if you really have some technology that China really need. And also, in this case, when you work with China government, the surveillance of the money is not that strict as what happened in the United States or Canada. So most of these kind of professors, once they receive the fundings, there is a big portion they could use for their personal purposes, even in the private life. And also, the labor forces in China is quite cheap compared to in the United States or Canada. And that means you could get so much money, much higher than you can get in America. And then when you go back, you'll have more labor force and you have more money for your own purposes, and you also will get the opportunities to extend your collaboration network in China and get better promotion, and that kind of relationship will help you to get more fundings or awards in the future, and even can help you to develop the political career pathway. In other words, this kind of talent programs is the way that China openly offers the fundings to get you working for China as an academic or economic spy. But it's very difficult for the other government to get enough evidence to charge this kind of criminals, because China government will use the state power to fix a document or cover up the evidence to create the obstacles for the investigation by the foreign governments. Okay, so let's go back to the report. Dr. Chu and her husband had an undisclosed bank account in China's commercial bank. The documents reveal and she had conducted research connected to the People's Liberation Army. And CSIS said it found an unfinalized work agreement for a talent program with Hebei Medical University that stipulated she would be provided with funding worth the equivalent of $1.2 million between 2018 and 2022. The agency said it found an application from her to the program that said she would work for China's Wuhan Virology Institute for at least 2 months every year. As part of her enrollment, CSIS said Dr. Chu committed to building the China's biosecurity platform for new and potent infectious disease research. Okay, so in the plain word, I can tell you that means Dr. Chu has committed to help China and help the People's Liberation Army to build the bioweapon and also bioterrorism-related platforms and also to develop the countermeasures. And also, based on my research, there is a lot of evidence show Chu really worked with Wuhan Institute of Virology after she escaped from Canada. And there are patents and there are also the articles, and she even changed her names. So yeah, we will talk about it later. Let's see what they talk in this report. So the CSIS investigation found Chu led a project at Wuhan Virology Institute that would assess cross-species infection and the pathogenic risks of filoviruses, which suggests gain-of-function studies were possibly to take place. Well, I would say that this comment is too mild. First, for the layman, I want to say that filoviruses include that Ebola and Marburg viruses. So each of that can cause the high lethal outbreak, and also they are the bioweapons. And when they study the cross species, that means transmit from animal to animal to human, back to animal or back to human, that is definitely not only about gain of function. And we know what they have done about COVID-19, right? Coronavirus is quite mild, low death rate, and previously it won't cause such severe harm to people, but now it can be pandemic for years. So just think about when these people were working on the Ebola and Marburg bioweapons, what can they do? And it's not the possible gain of function. It is definitely much worse than gain of function. It is the weaponized program, okay? Maybe the report just tried to be very polite, but we need to know that in China, Communist China, when we talk about biosecurity, and that means about weapon and countermeasures, and China has spent decades focusing on that, learn from Soviet Union and steal the technology from US, from other countries. And this time, when we say that these spies escaped back to China, keep working on the Ebola and other dangerous viruses, and even bring your knowledge and your samples, definitely, just based on common sense, you know they are not working on anything that benefits the human beings, right? CSIS also said Dr. Chu didn't expose her some employment experience in her CV for Canadian audience. And that include Chu is a visiting research scientist at Wuhan Virology Institute, visiting professor at Hebei Medical University, visiting research fellow at China's National Institute for Food and Drug Control, and visiting professor at Beijing Institute for Biotechnology. And here I just want to clarify that Beijing Institute for Biotechnology is not a civil institute at all. We could say that the other university or institute, including WIV, as military civil fusion, but this Beijing Institute for Biotechnology is a pure military institute. And the real name of that is Institute of Biotechnology of Academy of Military Medical Science. And the Academy of Military Medical Science has been already sanctioned by the United States. To use this name of Beijing Institute would make people think it is just a civil institute, and this is a way to downplay the connection with People's Liberation Army when they publish the articles or they join some conferences. And one general in this Beijing Institute for Biotechnology is very famous. That is General Wei Chen. The lady took over Wuhan BSL-4 lab at the beginning of Wuhan outbreak and bury all the evidence in that lab for communist China. And also she's the one developed the first SARS-2 COVID-19 vaccine in the world. And also she got the award by China government and military for her great contribution during the outbreak and the pandemic. And there is a lot of evidence shows that Wei Chen and Xiang Guoqiu has maintained a long-term collaboration in the virology in the countermeasure field. According to our analysis that after 2017, the most collaborative institute in China with Xiang Guoqiu are these four: Wuhan Institute of Virology, Academy of Medical Science, National Institute for Food and Drug Control, which is China's FDA, and also Fujian Province Entry-Exit Inspection and Quarantine, which is another government agency. CSIS concluded that Chu developed deep cooperative relationship with a variety of China institutions and has intentionally transferred scientific knowledge and materials to China to benefit communist China and herself without regard for the implications to her employer or to Canada's interest. And also it said Chu repeatedly lied in her security screening interviews about the extent of her work with Chinese government and refused to admit any involvement in various PRC programs, even when the documents about this work were put before her. And of course, now we know she is not just an ordinary scientist and worked just for money or by accident did something wrong. Actually, Chu is a CCP's professional espionage. And also, most probably, she has a secret military position. And according to the knowledge I have from our exclusive sources in CCP and PLA, that if Chu really has a secret military background, then she is most likely a general level agent at this moment, because she has done so much for China government. Her role in the National Infectious Disease Lab in Canada is so important, and she didn't admit her espionage activities in Canada. Instead, she ran back to China and keep working for China's bioweapon, bioterrorism project. So altogether, it fits the characteristics of CCP's professional agents. Furthermore, it's reported that Chu and her husband and other scientists at that lab collaborated with People's Liberation Army researchers to study and conduct experiments on deadly pathogens such as Ebola, Lassa fever, and Rift Valley fever. One of the Chinese researchers, Fei Huyan, from the People's Liberation Army's Academy of Military Medical Science, worked for a period of time at the Winnipeg lab. And a significant number of papers were in collaboration with Chinese scientists where research was funded by Chinese government bodies. Interestingly, according to CSIS, Chu initially denied knowing of or working with anyone who was involved in military research that is connected to People's Liberation Army or any military research institute. It is clear that Chu not only failed to inform her employer of these activities, but made efforts to conceal her projects with China's institutions. So this is very shameless, and she could deny all of that because she knows she can lie to Canada government, and in that case, China could help her to escape. However, she cannot, she can never did anything to betray the China government and People's Liberation Army, if not as a professional agent in the party's organization, she would face the punishment specifically against the traitors. And that would be very, very cruel. And that would also involve her families and people close to her. So just think about how KGB killed those traitors overseas and killed their families. Yeah, it's the same because China is communist, the KGB is communist style, and they're from the same ancestor. So such intimidation is the most efficient way to control the Communist Party members and also agents. It's never about love or never about anything like kindness. It's just about bloody torturement, punishment, and death. Also, Chu and her husband were under investigation in 2019 because Chu's name appeared as a listed inventor on the Chinese patent. But this patent contains some high classified information which was not disclosed to China by Canada government. So again, Chu tried to argue that she didn't know that and she doesn't know why her name appears on the Chinese patent, but clearly she lied again. And we have found more evidence now because now has been over 4 years. And since she came back to China, her names frequently appear on this kind of academic patent application or articles, which contain this Canadian government funded and Canadian government owned technology and achievements. And I will talk about it more specifically in the next section. Let's have a short break and we'll come back later. Thank you.
Cardiovascular disease is the leading cause of death and disability. Lifestyle changes are critical, but you can also support your heart with concentrated nutrients. Healthy Cell created heart and vascular health to support cholesterol and blood pressure with CoQ10, vitamin K2, resveratrol, and soluble fiber. And Healthy Cell's not a pill. It's a patent-pending gel you swallow. Get heart healthy. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD for 25% off.
The buildup of spike proteins is dangerous to your health. Global Healing's Foreign Protein Cleanse detoxes your body, removing the spike proteins, allowing your body to repair from within. Formulated by Dr. Edward Group and by Dr. Brian Artis, Foreign Protein Cleanse targets and detoxes spike proteins in the body. Go to AmericaOutloud.shop and get 15% off using the code OUTLOUD. Global Healing, giving you the power to take control of your health naturally.
Cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugar, inflammation, and weight. These are all real-world problems that 87% of Americans are struggling with. Fight back with HealRight. HealRight is a bar you eat, but it's food as medicine that addresses the nutritional root cause of health issues in just 8 weeks. Take action today. Visit HealRight.com/OutLoud or AmericaOutloud.shop and use the code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
Who's got time for a nasal invasion messing up your lifestyle? Crush those nasties before they become a problem. For a limited time, when you add the new Cofix RX throat spray to your order with the coupon code OUTLOUD, you'll receive 20% off the entire purchase. Go to AmericaOutloud.shop. That's AmericaOutloud.shop and use coupon code OUTLOUD.
Use Cofix RX because it works.
The pandemic may be over for some, but millions of Americans are needlessly suffering from the long-term effects of toxic spike protein from COVID-19 and the vaccines. Fortunately, Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company designed their spike support formula with the miracle enzyme natokinase, scientifically studied to dissolve spike protein so you can feel your very best. Go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order.
You wouldn't go a day without brushing your teeth or washing your hands. What about washing your nose? I mean, your nose does filter the air you breathe, air loaded with bacteria, viruses, and irritants. Make nasal hygiene part of your routine with Clear. No messy bottles to fill, no drowning sensation. Clear is a natural drug-free saline with the added benefit of xylitol, which blocks bacterial and viral adhesion. Available in stores and online at clear.com. That is XLEAR.com.
Well, the year 2024 must be the year of the Patriot, and AmericaOutloud.news will equip you with all the information you need to give new meaning to the words Patriot Act. For our actions always ultimately define our words. Now is our time, my fellow Americans. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
Hi everyone, welcome back to the Voice of the Patriot. In the last section, we introduced and comment on the latest review document about two Chinese academic spy who are the top virologists that worked in the National Infectious Disease Microbiology Lab in Canada before and now go back to China, work for People's Liberation Army and China government. And the leading one is a wife, Xiang Guoqiu, and she keep lying to the Canadian government during the investigation on her espionage activities, and she keep working with military in China and other government-owned institute and provide a lot of intellectual properties, knowledge to China government for China's bioweapon and countermeasure development. Also, she helped the PLA members work in that national lab in Canada without Canadian government's awareness. Also, this couple has received big amount of money from China government to support their studies as research fundings. Now let's see what else in the report talking about the husband, Ke Dingcheng. And Cheng was under investigation after students he supervised attempt to remove laboratory materials without authorizations. And also it's highly suspicious that Cheng used the code to enter the animal health lab that was assigned to another employee, although they said they didn't see anything nefarious in it. The document about the couple's investigation is very long and contains a lot of details. But briefly, in August 2020, Public Health Agency of Canada informed both Chiu and her husband that their security status was suspended because they were dealing with foreign government agencies and the foreign government research programs, and they are not transparent with Canadian government. However, both scientists filed appeals or grievance, alleging, among other things, that they were the victim of racial profiling. But Public Health Agency of Canada rejected this. I mean, here it's very familiar, right? We know that China government always use racial as an excuse that to accuse any of this investigation or anything reveal the crimes done by Chinese Communist Party as anti-Chinese, anti-Asia discrimination. And I have talked about how China tried to use anti-Asia and anti-Chinese, anti-China to send me to the federal court just because I talk about the China lab origin of COVID-19 and also CCP's bioweapon projects. And yes, they failed, but in many cases they win because first, it is funded by China government to file the lawsuits. And also that is the one of the very important tactics in CCP's unrestricted warfare against America and also the free world by using the lawsuits to abuse the rule of law in that country. And so they could always keep arguing, lying, provide false evidence just because they want to exhaust the defendants, and also they could use this kind of abuse of lawsuits to intimidate others who try to opposite the China government. And also this kind of lawsuit, if China win, so they could provide the case in the case law system. And for example, if Xiang Guoqiu and her husband win this case, then in the future, it is even more difficult for Canadian government to sue or arrest the CCP spies in the academic field, because the previous case will offer the solid obstacles to prevent the similar case to happen in the future. And that's what China won. So in the reports, as I said, about Xiang Guoqiu and her husband, they usually say that Qiu and her husband are kind of missing since they go back to China. However, based on the investigation by me and my team, we do have found a lot of update about Qiu's research and achievements since she left Canada. And also, as I said, most of them working with military directly, and also there are a lot of evidence shows that Qiu has brought the patents or other knowledge materials from the National Lab in Canada. And what she has done really benefits People's Liberation Army and the CCP's bioweapon program. So first of all, let's see, one article published on cell discovery in December 2022. The title is "A Biospecific Nanobody Dimer Broadly Neutralizes SARS-CoV-1 and 2 Variants of Concern and Offers Substantial Protection Against the Omicron via Low-Dose Intranasal Administration." This is a project done by the joint teams from the University of Science and Technology of China and the Wuhan Institute of Virology, as well as the Institute of Biotechnology of Academy of Military Medical Science. And briefly, this article talks about the teams based in these institutions have develop a new type of nano-neutralizing antibody which could against both SARS-1, SARS-2, and also including SARS-2 Omicron variant. And they have done the animal experiments by giving these antibodies through the nose of the hamsters. And they believe that could be a very potential antibody against the coronavirus for humans. And this project was funded by 3 grants from both local and central government of China. And the most interesting part of this article is not about their study. What I want to emphasize is the authorship. Among over 10 authors, the most important one, the correspondent author, is called Sandra Chu. S-A-N-D-R-A-C-H-I-U. And this is not a mainland Chinese name. C-H-I-U is the spelling of Qiu, Xiang Guoqiu's surname, in Hong Kong style or Taiwan style. And Sandra is not a Chinese name at all, no matter in Hong Kong or Macau, this is a pure English name. And the listed affiliation of Sandra Chu is Division of Life Science and Medicine, University of Science and Technology of China in Hefei City. So this is a university based in mainland China. If this author is a Chinese person or he or she has Chinese name, then the Chinese name must be listed in the academic publication. And when I checked the email of this Sandra Chu, I realized that she is Xiang Guoqiu, because, as I said, Chu is another spelling of Chu, and the email of this author is QIUX@, and the address of that university. So QIU is Chu's real spelling in Chinese name, and X is the initial of Xiang Guo. And also, her name was found as a PhD supervisor in that university in a website. And I just want to remind my American audience that in China, It's very difficult for people to change their names. It's not like in the United States, you just need to go to the local court and file application, and then you can change your names, no matter in Chinese spelling, English spelling, Arabic spelling. No, in China, because the government needs to control people very well and tightly, so they don't allow you to change the name. It's like, if you want to change your name, then it is a very complicated, sophisticated procedure, take a long time, and you cannot change your name into an English spelling one because that doesn't fit the Chinese culture and it will cause a lot of troubles in your daily life in China. Therefore, when we identify that Sandra Chu in the University of Science and Technology of China actually is Xiang Guoqiu. The question is, why does she change her name to publish a paper in which she is the most important author? And now we know that clearly she won't cover up her real identity when published these articles on an international journal, and she doesn't care whether Chinese people know she is Xiang Guoqiu because there are other evidence about her real name connected with military and universities in China on website. But in this English written article, Chu and the China government want to cheat the English speaking world, especially the Canada government. And to note, I have checked the court documents in Canada about Chu's case. They didn't mention Sandra Chu as another name of Xiang Guoqiu in Canada. So this is a pure new name, and without China government's support, she cannot use this name legally in China to publish the articles. And by the way, although I said we can find Xiang Guoqiu's name in Chinese website, but still, we believe that most of the evidence removed or just not exposed intentionally by China government. For example, in the Chinese website of the University of Science and Technology of China, they have written an article in Chinese to briefly summarize the study and also praise their researchers and their leading roles in this study. However, they didn't mention Xiang Guoqiu's name or Sandra Chu's name at all. So that means they just tried to downplay Chu's role in this article when they published the introduction. And I have checked through the official website of that university since Chu is a PhD supervisor based in that university. However, in the website of Division of Life Science and Medicine of that university, I checked through the professors, associate professors, research teams, and other related information. Chu's name doesn't appear at all. That is very unusual. If China government and the university are not purposely to cover up her identity, they should list her name, her team on the website, and her achievement, because as such an influential virologist, Chu could bring a lot of reputation for the university. And another thing we found is a patent filed in China, which was applied by three researchers based in Wuhan Institute of Virology in June 2023. This patent is about neutralizing antibody and application against the Nipah virus. And Nipah virus is a deadly virus which can cause the hemorrhagic fever. And if you have listened to my previous broadcast or my interviews, you may have remembered that in 2022, I mentioned that we have sources and evidence to show that in the end of 2021, in the big city Xi'an of China, People's Liberation Army and the local government worked together to conduct the hemorrhagic fever trials using Xi'an citizens. And the related information were highly classified, and only very few people can get access to it, including our sources. And China government has controlled information very well because during the COVID-19 pandemic, Xi Jinping has developed a way to control this kind of information in China and country people in China. And at that time, I also revealed that China believed they have developed a very specific and efficient antibody against some hemorrhagic fever viruses, which is an anti-CD38 antibody was used against the leukemia before. And this patent filed by WIV, among the three researchers, one is Xiang Guoqiu, and this time she used her Chinese name. So that means Xiang Guoqiu was working with WIV to study the antibody against the hemorrhagic fever viruses. And since we know that CCP and the PLA have conducted trials to see the efficiency of their countermeasures against the hemorrhagic fever virus, it's not surprising that Xiang Guoqiu and other team members are also focusing on the countermeasures against the hemorrhagic fever viruses. So now we see that she published an article with the military and WIV in a new identity using a new name. And also she files patents with the WIV. However, that's not the most important achievement for Xiang Guoqiu after she came back to China. So there is a document found by my team that Xiang Guoqiu, as the leading virologist in this whole team with a group of People's Liberation Army high-ranking virologists and also scientists, working mainly in the Academy of Military Medical Science, have applied the award of the Chinese Preventive Medicine Association Science and Technology Award. And this Science Technology Award is one of the top national awards given by the Chinese Ministry of Health and also Ministry of Science and Technology. So this is the best award for people working in the public health and the preventive medicine field. This award, they will give every 2 years, and there is only very few people, very few teams can receive this award because this is a top honor in the CCP system. So it includes the achievement from the military to the civil field. And what Chu and the PLA team has filed is titled as Anti-Ebola Virus Therapeutic Antibody MIL-77, the key development technology and application. So they introduced that this is about the therapeutic antibody against the deadly virus Ebola. Ebola can kill 50 to 90 people once they get infected. Ebola has outbreak in South Africa before. And then they mentioned that WHO allowed this kind of study. And in the United States, there is a company called MAPP and also work with public health agency in Canada. They have the joint development of the antibody DMAPP to be approved to apply in the emergency situation. And the DMAPP is a very efficient antibody. And so this MIL-77 is developed based on DMAPP antibody, and then made some modification, and they emphasized that the United States and Canadian teams, when they were producing the ZMAPP antibodies, they have got some disadvantage that the production is not in a high amount. So Xiang Guoqiu and the PLA scientists have made some improvement to make the production go to a good and stable amount. And also, after their modification, they believe that MIL-77 had more advantages compared to ZMAPP, like it's safer, it's more specific, it can be more efficient. And then they said during the outbreak in West Africa,
China side has already completed some emergency production of this MIL-77, and it has even cured some international patients. However, here is the highlighted part. In 2015, when Chairman Xi Jinping visited UK, he has mentioned MIL-77 antibody to show the friendship between China and UK, because China has used this antibody to cure some UK patients. And currently, MIL-77 have got the China FDA's approval and also the People's Liberation Army's approval and completed the clinical trial one. So this team will further develop it and make it even better in the future, and also put it to the market in the future. And they have listed the main material, means the publication or achievement in this project, to show the importance of this project. However, it was a paper published on Science and Translational Medicine in 2016. And at that time, Chiu was still working in Canada. And a group of these joint team members in this paper, the paper name is Two Monoantibody Cocktail Protects Macaques Against the Macona Variant of Ebola Virus. So in this paper, Xianguo Chiu is one of the correspondent authors. That means she's a leading expert, but she didn't put any affiliation in China in this paper. She just put her affiliation in the Public Health Agency of Canada. However, there are Chinese military and military civil institute involved into this project. For example, the Laboratory of Immunology, Institute of Basic Medical Science in Beijing, it should be the Academy of Military Medical Science Institute. And also there is the China Academy of Science Laboratory, which is also the Military Civil Fusion Institute. So they have involved a lot into this project, and there are also a lot of scientists come from UK, from Italy, from United States joined this project. By the way, this is not the article first time talking about these two monoantibodies. It is focusing on the treatment, and that is based on the previous studies to develop the two antibody. However, these two antibody should not belong to China side, although China has given the financial support through fundings to support this study. The two mono antibody was known originally developed by Canada and the US government sponsored project, and also the patents belong to US and Canada, not belong to China. And we see that, so in this paper, it shows how China focused on these two monoantibodies and want to get the technology back to China. So in 2015, as the award application mentioned, Xi Jinping in public showed his interest, strong interest into this monoantibody against Ebola. And then the 2016 articles show that China's funding has already efficiently involved into the related research, and Xianguo Chiu is a leading scientist. She brings the military background scientist into the team. And later, when Xianguo Chiu was found by Canadian government to leak the information and also materials knowledge to China side, to military, and also brought the military scientists from China illegally enter the highest security level laboratories in Canada. She and her husband just go back to China and then keep working with the PLA and China government. So that's what we can learn from the award application. And we know that this award have been already given to this team. Just at this moment, we haven't found the material in public about what exactly prize it got, like the first, second, or third. But according to the team members, like Bei Fengshen in AMMS PLA is a general and very senior general, and Xiang Guoqiu, and also some even both pharmaceutical companies, which was backed by China government involved. We know that they have already received the prize, and it must be the first or second prize this level, because this is the project that Xi Jinping cares a lot. And also, this was publicized on the website of the team, so that means they have already got approved. And in China, this kind of publicized announcement is just to complete the whole process. It means they already know the result, just need to show it to the public. So yeah, although in the Canadian report, it didn't exactly mention so many academic details about Xiang Guoqiu and her collaboration with China, but we see there are a lot of evidence already shown that she worked with PLA and other military civil institute in China. She has done a lot of things, contribute into the virology study using deadly virus and also the countermeasure field, which is very important knowledge and technology for CCP and Xi Jinping's novel bioweapon program. And also, according to our experience and our knowledge, Xiang Guoqiu, I can tell you, I believe that she was not just a compromised scientist in Canada. Instead, she should be a well-trained professional agent implanted into the academic field by CCP from the beginning. And she should be the agent from the top intelligence department, as I mentioned to you before I introduced, that is called International Liaison Department. So yeah, this is what I want to talk in today's episode, and thank you for listening. And the Voice of Dr. Yan every Saturday, Sunday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time meet you on America Out Loud Radio Network and iHeart Radio, as well as various apps for free, like Pandora, Google Podcast, and Spotify. Thank you.